Well, friends, as we come to this last sermon on the heirloom marriage series, I'd like to invite our Bible readers up this morning. Mike and Abby Vanderwall are going to be reading scripture this morning. You're more than welcome to look it up as well. The page numbers are in the bulletin. But they're going to be reading from Ephesians and Philippians.
Congregation, this is the word of the Lord from Philippians. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus.
Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross.
Congregation, this is the word of the Lord from Ephesians. Wives, submit to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything.
Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body.
For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church.
However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself.
And the wife must respect her husband. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, beloved in Christ, we've come to the last of the messages in our Making of an Heirloom Marriage series, and we began it 6 weeks ago by saying, just like heirloom gemstones that shine brilliantly, last forever, and get passed down from generation to generation, we want our marriages to shine and last and be visible models for the generations that come after them. So we began with talking about marriage as a covenant, focusing on its forever qualities, especially that first one there, faithfulness. And we then talked about some practical implications of viewing your marriage as a covenant, taking vows seriously, being quick to forgive. We continued by talking about the passionate marriage. How do we cultivate intimacy? How do we value each other, romance each other? Next, we moved on to what it means to have a fighting marriage. In other words, both husband and wife fighting hard for the success of their marriage, how confessing our sin is so important, and we saw how God fights for us in his relationship with us, and how essential communication is. And last time we talked about what happens if the marriage is, well, if it's one-sided, if only one of the spouses is fully engaged and wanting the marriage to succeed. We saw that in action in the first three chapters of Hosea. Which brings us today, the heroic marriage. I hope you've been noticing the graphics each week in the bulletin and on the screen. I showed them all today, and they link up well with our heirloom marriage banner as well that our banner committee put together over there. Thank you so much. So here we are with the heroic marriage. Notice the graphic of husband and wife joining hands at the cross. They are standing under those two wedding bands that make up the marriage altar, if you will. And you see the heirloom gemstone on one of the bands, I hope. And for the heroic marriage, we see appropriately our two heroes, the husband and the wife. We see them wearing capes. No capes, no capes. Edna Mode would not be pleased. It's a little Pixar Incredibles movie humor for those of age. You may want to watch that movie. You'll get it. But this husband and wife are heroes because we want our husbands and wives to be heroes, to have heroic marriages. As you listen to the scripture reading from Philippians and Ephesians read by our married couple this morning, you recognize the main hero, Jesus, in those passages. And he, of course, is who makes any one of our marriages heroic. He's the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, gets the glory for that. Today, in this last sermon, we want to talk about what a healthy marriage is supposed to look like, what the marriage partners are supposed to be for each other. Heroes under Jesus. Heroes under Jesus, the ultimate hero. God's Word gives clear instruction on how to be a hero, not only in marriage, but in all of our living, really. Remember the words, Philippians 2, a verse or two before our text where it was read, is this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. Did you hear those last words? Made himself nothing. Another version says, emptied himself. An emptying of oneself. That's the way of the hero. Jesus Christ is our hero. We don't often call him that. We do sing about that. Sang about it this morning. The hero of heaven. The greatest hero who ever lived, who does live because he died and he rose from the dead, and now he lives in glory in heaven and in our hearts through his Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, the Creator and the glorious one, the King of all creation, Jesus Christ voluntarily emptied himself of all that, of all the weight of his glory, emptied his very self. That's what heroes do. They empty themselves. Now, how does that work in a marriage? First, heroic marriage partners pass on self-fulfillment. They pass. In other words, in a heroic marriage, the meaning in the marriage, it's not found by pursuing happiness or self-fulfillment. It's not found by trying to get filled up with all the things that our world says you need to have to make you happy, like getting in shape, getting rich, or working hard, or keeping old age at bay, and getting rid of wrinkles, and have a Botox party, you know, get rid of flab, try the lima bean diet, get rid of your gray hair, get additional hair, fill yourself up. Get filled up, pursue happiness, and you will be self-fulfilled. You'll be the hero of the insignificant little world around you. That's our society talking. I mean, if you scroll Instagram reels or other social media, there are people telling you constantly, this is the way to self-fulfillment. Do this, eat this, meditate on this, act like this. Speak like this, and you'll have the world by the tail, completely self-fulfilled. What a bunch of bunk. The Word of God says just the opposite. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who emptied himself or made himself nothing. He passed on self-fulfillment. Rather, he made himself nothing. He emptied himself. Al Jansen writes, in life, and especially in marriage, I am instructed to have the same mindset as Christ. That counters my normal selfish tendencies to demand my rights and to position myself to look better than others around me, to attempt to manipulate people and circumstances out of ambition, or to ensure that my physical needs are met, even if outside the bounds of marriage. He says, when my wife sees someone acting that way, she observes, he sure is full of himself. And that's not a compliment, because Jesus says, have my mindset. Empty yourself. Don't be full of yourself. Empty that self. That's Al Jansen and his wife. Heroic marriage partners pass on self-fulfillment. It's hard to gain that mindset, though, isn't it? Who are our heroes? Ask many people. They will pick those who have not emptied themselves at all. The sports stars, the celebrities, the rich and famous. Typically those who haven't emptied themselves at all. They've tried to fill. If you've ever watched the movie, it's quite a few years old now, Life is Beautiful. Life is Beautiful. That is a picture of people emptying themselves. There's a non-Jewish wife named Dora who demands to be put on a train to a concentration camp. The Jews have all been rounded up in this Italian village, including this woman's husband named Guido. He is Jewish. She rushes to the train station, demands to be put on the train, even though she's not Jewish. She became a no one, a Jew in this case, a person with no rights, with a death sentence on her head. She gave up her freedom, her life. She emptied herself. She passed on self-fulfillment. At the end of the movie, her husband does the same thing for his son. In fact, gives up his own life for his son. It's a movie about emptying your very self. It's a movie with real heroes in it. I'm sorry if I gave it away, but it's been out a long time, so. Heroic marriage partners pass on self-fulfillment. It's a principle found in the Word of God in Philippians and in other places. You know the verse, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. Matthew 6:33. Do you hear the principle there? The other things are the self-fulfillment things. Don't seek them. Don't pursue them. Seek the kingdom of God first. Let God worry about the other. Let God bring the fulfillment you need. It's a variation of the same theme. Heroic marriage partners pass on self-fulfillment. They pass on the pursuit of happiness. Now, the obvious question, well, how are you going to be happy in your marriage if you pass on self-fulfillment? Doesn't sound like the institution of marriage is a very happy institution at all. The point is, though, you don't gain happiness in marriage by demanding it now. By insisting on self-fulfillment in your relationship, expecting that, well, my spouse is going to make me happy and she will do that now, or he will do that now. An expectation like that will inevitably lead to disappointment. Happiness in marriage and self-fulfillment are found definitely, but they are not found by the pursuit of them or by demanding them from the other spouse. They begin to be found only when you begin to empty yourself, make yourself nothing. Only when you begin to see that the marriage is not just about you, about yourself, it's completely counterintuitive. And heroic marriage partners understand this. They pass on self-fulfillment, and they work on emptying themselves instead. They work on emptying themselves. But the question still remains, well, will I be happy? How can I be happy? How can I be fulfilled then? I thought there's such wonderful fulfillment in marriage, and that leads us to point number two. It's not just about emptying oneself by passing on self-fulfillment. Point number two, heroic marriage partners practice service. Ephesians 5, verse 21 said, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then that verse is explained further in the next verses. For wives, this means submit to your husbands. For husbands, this means love your wives. So this submitting that verse 21 talks about works itself out in a couple of different yet very similar ways. Wives submit because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her. I mean, you can read that passage about husbands and wives over and over again, and you can try to get the meaning of that word submit and what it means to be the head of the wife. You can talk about wives submitting and husbands leading and what that means, and those roles are definitely there. But in the final analysis, you're always going to get back to one thing, that Jesus Christ is both the model for headship and he's the model for submission. Remember Philippians 2? Christ made himself nothing, took the very nature of a servant, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. In other words, in his incredible grace, Christ Jesus gave up everything, submitted to his Father's will, and willingly served his spouse, God's people, unto death on the cross. Served a spouse who didn't deserve his respect at all. That's how he leads in his marriage to his people. And that's how he submitted in his marriage to his people, the church. He freely served his spouse. That's the heart of Jesus. And God asks us to do the same, to reflect his heart in our lives, to those around us, and especially to our spouses. God asks us to reflect his heart by serving each other and serving each other in marriage. Heroic marriage partners practice service. They practice daily service to each other. They practice the steady, consistent, time-consuming work of serving each other. They not only empty themselves and pass on self-fulfillment or the pursuit of happiness, they fill that empty void with service for the one they love. And it's in that service to each other that they actually find the fulfillment. And so for the wife, submission and respect for her husband becomes a willing submission, for he's there sacrificing himself in service to her. And for the husband, loving and leading his wife becomes a valuing leadership, for he values highly the one who is sacrificing herself in service to him. Men, sometimes leadership means deferring to the valued expertise of your wife. A man, for example, so the story goes, when he locks his keys in the car on a cold winter's day, he'll fiddle with a hanger to try to open the door and ignore his wife's suggestion. Well, just call a road service, and he'll do it till hypothermia has set in. That's just how men are, the story goes. You can fill in your own story. Value your wife's gifts, your wife's expertise, your wife's opinions. Sometimes leadership means deferring to the expertise of your wife. Sometimes the husband says, I will exercise my right of leadership in this marriage, honey. And guess what? We'll do it your way. I'll lead by deferring to you in this case, even though we can't agree right now. And sometimes it means saying, no, we're not going to do it your way. We'll do it this way. But it always means valuing the expertise and opinions of your wife. It never means lording your leadership over her, because leadership and submission are all about giving up the self and sacrificially serving the other. Too often, though, that's the problem, isn't it? You know, kids even pick up on this when attitudes in marriage become kind of messed up and marred, when self-fulfillment starts being pursued, when service feels like enslavement, when true biblical heroism disappears in a marriage. You know, kids see it. Kids were asked, is it better to be single or married? And 9-year-old little Anita answered, it's better for girls to be single, but not for boys. Boys need someone to clean up after them. And 10-year-old Alan was asked the question, well, how do you decide whom you marry? And he answered, well, you've got to find someone who likes the same stuff as you. Like, if you like sports, well, she should like it that you like sports. She should keep the chips and salsa coming, you know. Little Alan sees it. Heroic marriage partners practice service for one another. And so we must ask ourselves, will I do what feels good, what I think will make me happy, or will I do the right thing and take whatever courageous action is necessary for the good of my marriage? Do you think there are opportunities, listen, do you think there are opportunities throughout the day to do the heroic, self-sacrificial service things for your spouse? Of course there are. And when you do them, you not only are loving your spouse heroically, you are reflecting the heart of Christ and the love he has for his bride, the church. Do you daily serve your spouse? Put your spouse first. How does that get worked out? Countless ways. countless ways, biting your tongue when you'd rather aggressively defend yourself against something your spouse said, giving your spouse a hug when they say they're feeling tired, giving a hug instead of, you know, scolding them, well, I'm tired too. Getting up at night when the child cries instead of pretending you're sound asleep. Listening when he or she talks. Stopping what you're doing. Stopping your phone usage to listen. Taking over some chores when your spouse has had a hectic day. Making dinner cheerfully when for the 1,000th time you don't feel like it. Thanking your spouse for making dinner when for the 1,000th time again you're liable to forget that simple thank you. Helping with the making of dinner. You can go on and on and on. Countless examples. Daily serving your spouse. Here's another way to serve them. Listen. Refusing to allow impure thoughts to invade your marriage. Staying away from the channels, the websites, the magazines, the porn, the books, and the close encounters with the opposite sex that will riddle your marriage with the bullets of impurity. Refusing them. Get away! That's serving your spouse. That's passing on self-fulfillment. So you can find true fulfillment in service to your spouse. Heroic marriage partners practice service to one another. Well, here we are, last point of the whole series. It answers the question, well, how can I possibly have a heroic marriage? I mess this up all the time. And I don't have the strength to be a hero. The third point is heroic marriage partners pray. They pray for two things, forgiveness and strength. And the good news is that God, in His grace, because of Christ, is ready to give both of those things to us. Of course we mess up. Think of the pressure. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. The two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. Oh, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. What pressure? My marriage is a reflection of Christ's heroic marriage to His people. How can I measure up to that? I can't do it. Every day I mess up. Do you know what? The hero, the greatest one, the hero of heaven, comes along and says to each one of us, that's right, you can't. You can't measure up. But I paid for that sin. I paid for your inadequacy. I paid dearly for it. I died for it on the cross. So confess your sin to me, and I'll forgive you. I'll make you as pure as that radiant church without stain, wrinkle, or blemish, but holy and blameless. I'll cleanse you so that you can start over again and again and again. Heroic marriage partners realize their imperfection and they pray. They pray to confess their sin and seek forgiveness. But they also pray for strength. They pray that the Holy Spirit of God, who transforms every relationship, even we don't even realize it, Spirit is doing it, that He will transform the most precious relationship they have, the relationship with their spouse. Heroic marriage partners not only pray to confess their sin, they pray to ask for strength from the Holy Spirit of God who lives in them. He lives in you and He will empower you. He will transform your husband-wife relationship. He will give you strength to empty yourself, strength to sacrificially serve. He will give you strength to be a hero in your marriage. Heroic marriage partners pray for forgiveness. They pray for strength. And God is ready to give both. Beloved, that's great news. That's great news. Gracious, gracious good news. Good news for our marriages, for all our relationships, really. May God bless us all in the moments and the days and the weeks and months and years awaiting us in our marriages. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, What an example it is, what an example you are in Jesus Christ as you showed us what it truly means to be a spouse in a marriage. That you are this incredible, loving spouse for your people, the church. Thank you for being that for us. But thank you that that also becomes what we strive for. And yes, we will mess up. We will mess up badly. But Lord, we pray that we would be people who recognize it immediately and get before you on our knees, asking for forgiveness, asking for strength to start again. Help us to be those people in all of our relationships, especially in our marriages, people who empty ourselves and practice service. Help us to be more and more like Jesus, have the mindset of Christ Jesus that gets worked out in all of our thoughts, words, and actions. In his name we pray. Amen.